two kingdoms, God's kingdom and the second kingdom, man's kingdom. Two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Which kingdom do you choose? Not only that, which kingdom do you choose to live in on a daily basis? Today, we're hitting something that's a bit of a... Guys, it's a sensitive topic. It's a sensitive issue. And so as I come to this Sunday morning, one of the things that that's heavy on my heart is not that we make light of suffering. The message today is the kingdom of self-pity. The kingdom of feeling bad and feeling good about feeling bad. The kingdom of poor me. And guys, as I bring this forward, this is a sensitive issue because all of us have experienced serious pain. All of us have experienced suffering. And some people have experienced more than their fair share. I was praying for a woman outside of the church, an older woman, earlier this week, and as she was sharing, what was on her heart, as she was sharing all the different stuff and all the different things that had happened to her and her family. And it was just in like a matter of 30, 45 seconds. And there was this list that you could feel the weight. Carl was with me. Carl, you remember that? You do remember feeling that weight? It was a heavy weight. And one of the things I said to Carl as I walked back was, God, this is one of the conversations I want to have with you when we get to heaven. Why is it that it seems like some people, it just rains on and rains and rains and rains? Suffering is not something we take lightly. So many of you have spent hours in prayer with loved ones, praying and on your knees with them, and then going home and getting on your knees and praying for them, and it's a hard thing to deal with. But one of the things about wounds is those very wounds that when God heals, we have scars, right? We have scars and we see the scar and we're reminded of His glorious way of healing us. When we have wounds that are open, they're not scars. They're festering. And any time that we have scars in our lives, God wants to change that and bring it to a place of closing and healing so that the scar is there, not an open wound, and so that we come to a place where when we see it, we remember God was victorious with me in this area. Maybe even some of the challenges we're still facing, but we're not broken on the inside. We don't have to be broken on the inside. We don't have to live life in a place of self-pity and brokenness and get lost there and get stuck there. What do you do if you've been stuck there for a long time? And that's really what we're going to look at this morning. As we look at the kingdom of self-pity, let's turn to John 5. John 5. There, when I was in traveling through the Holy Lands, I got to go to the Pool of Bethesda and see it. And it's a small area. It's a small area. And it's a small pool. And there's an area around the outside that's not very big for a lot of people to be. And we're reading about that very place right now. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the sheep gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. When it had been there, it had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Guys, I want you to think about this. Who here is under 38? Raise your hand. I should put my hand down. All right. 38 years. I mean, a year is a long time. 5 years is a long time. 10 years, 20 years. Julie and I are having this month our 30-year reunion for high school. 38 years. We're also having something else that's coming up. Do you remember what that is soon? How many years?
Five.
She got it right. She must love me, yes. On September 12th. All right. Guys, 25 years we've been married. That's a long time. But it's gone by so quickly. Do I get points, son? All right. 38 years. Think about that. 38. And what has he been doing? He's been lying in this area by the pool. And there's some things that really stand out to me. As we look at the kingdom of self-pity, Jesus comes and he asks a question which is very, almost sounds callous, doesn't it? Do you want to get well? Why is he lying where he's lying? He wants to get well. But it's not a callous remark. It's not rudeness from Jesus. It's a question from Jesus who knows the heart of this man, who sees more to the picture than we do. You know, sometimes when we're broken, when things have been going on, we get so stuck that the very pain that we think we want to get rid of becomes our identity. You know, we've looked at the kingdom of riches. That's a positive one, right? There's a lot of kingdoms of this world that are positive. There's some that are negative, that have a negative tone, and this is a negative one. A kingdom of self-pity, of poor me, of my wound has become who I am. And he says, "Do you want to get well?" Because he knows this man's heart. And there's evidence of victimhood. We have evidence right here. For 38 years, he's been in the same place, and he has what? No one to help him. 38 years, he's been in the exact same place, and how many friends does he have that he feels like he can call on? Julie and I have been here, it's coming up on 8 years. We've got a lot of friends here. We've got a lot of people that are so dear to us that when hardships come, we share our hearts with them. We can be real with them. I don't have to be Pastor Matthew who has it all together, and I can share my heart. Here's a man who's been in the same place for 38 years. And he doesn't have the friends. Victimhood makes us isolated, even in community. Guys, victimhood can isolate us even in the midst of community. We can be surrounded with people. And when you're dealing with depression, even though you're surrounded, and you might even be surrounded by people who love you and know you, and maybe even people you do know, but in depression, you can still be alone in the middle of community. One of the things that shocked Julie and I when we came back from Uganda, where everything was so social and relational, was coming back here and seeing how people are so busy and so lonely. And we had different eyes when we came back. We had fresh eyes, and it's something I don't see the way I used to see. Self-pity creates isolation. Victimhood makes us isolated in community. Other people's blessings, when we get there emotionally, other people's blessings make me a victim, affect me, and they take away from me. And sometimes when we're in that identity of brokenness, we see the blessings of others as something that's taking away from me. And so it makes other people not fellow sojourners, fellow people on a journey, but it makes others competition. If they get what they get, that takes it away from me. And it's a mindset that can become so discouraging. This man, he's alone. And I got to ask the question in my mind, why is he alone? And one of the things I think about is, have you ever met somebody who's gone through a lot and they've got people around them, and then because of the negative attitude, people start breaking away? Some of you work in facilities where caregiving is a big part of it. And you see some people who are experiencing unbelievable struggle, and they have a heart that is positive. And other people who are going through the same or less, and they're broken, and they're angry, and they tend to push people away from them. Victimhood justifies why we do what we do. I want to say that again. Victimhood justifies why we do what we do. You know what Jesus calls that? Sin. Sin. We don't think of that brokenness when that brokenness becomes our identity. It's, and we think of poor me. But Jesus says when we make the kingdom of us, when we make all of the world trying to revolve around me, that's self-focus and that's sin. That's sin. So what shows transformation? Love for God's word, for his people, intimacy with people, knowing and trusting and being in relationships, knowing God and being intimate with him. Verse 8 says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Think about that. He's just asking, do you want to get well? And what was the answer? The answer was, well, I don't have anybody. I don't have anybody to help me. So then he says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And guys, one of the things, because of the wording of this, it's easy to kind of take almost a negative understanding of what's happening and what's being said here. This is an act of faith from this man. He's just given the reasons of why he can't. And then Jesus reaches in. He's hearing his heart. And he says, get up, take up your mat and walk. And this man has a response of faith at once. I love that. At once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Guys, think about this. 38 years sitting in a crowd alone. Jesus says, get up. And he does. Guys, that's radical obedience. Radical obedience. I want to take a moment and let's welcome up Augie and Yolanda. Come on up. Let's welcome them up. And I've heard their testimony, and you know, you look at these guys. Thank you for doing this, you guys. Hey, brother. Good to see you. You look at these guys and you think, Man, what a great couple. They just look like they haven't had a problem. Like it's been a perfect marriage from the beginning. And each one of them just comes from wonderful situation. And, you know, I love talking with them. I love their positive hearts. And I thought, you know what? I want to hear from you guys as we look at this. How long has your faith in Jesus transformed your lives and your marriage? How has your faith in Jesus transformed your life and specifically your marriage?
Well, my name is Telmo.
Yeah, it's
Telmo Alvarez, and this is my wife.
Hi, my name is Yolanda Alvarez.
And it's something different because
You know what? Let me give you this.
On there, it's just not on in the back.
Yes, well, now we can hear myself. Okay. My name is Telmo Augusto Alvarez, and this is my wife,
Yolanda Alvarez.
And last past year, or this year, we celebrate 18 years marriage. The second time.
18.
But before that, we was separated for almost 30 years separated. And when I came to the Lord, one thing that the Lord put in my heart was to start praying for my family, because we had a family. The children was little, and I just took off, and I was an addict, like alcohol. Started with a beer first, beer joint. I used to run a beer joint and start drinking beer. Then from then I went to school to be a bartender. Then I started getting a little bit higher, and then I'm just continue with my addiction. And alcohol, it was not enough. Then I started using cocaine, and then cocaine led me to crack. I spent 13 years in the street of New York. I took her, I left my family, and she was the one that took care of all the family, the kids and everything else. And we were separated for how long?
About 29 years.
Yes, we were separated about 29 years. And then one day, I was in the street of New York, Manhattan, and somehow the Lord said, you know, that's good enough. You already been through all that, and I'm going to pick you up. And somehow they sent me to upstate New York, a homeless shelter in upstate New York. And there I met my Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God for him. They had that. You know, he filled me up. And then from then on, I started praying for my family. And one day, my daughter, she was what?
Oh, I don't remember.
She was 35 years old already. And my phone rang in upstate New York. And I said, hello. And she said, are you Telmo Augusto Alvarez? I said, yes. Are you my dad? I said, what? I said, are you my dad? I said, well, if you name is Gloria Alvarez, yes. Yeah, I'm Gloria Alvarez. Then from then on, we started getting acquainted, and then I started talking to my ex, and she wasn't too happy. But, you know, the Lord was the one that working in my life. And then we started talking about it, and then we decided in 1996, one day we get married again.
This 1999.
And I forgot, you know, don't worry. Don't laugh. At 76, you forget a lot of things. All right. Thank God that I'm 76 and I still have no problem. But all right. So we started getting, and then we decided to get married. And then my daughter, she told her, and saying, "Mom, are you sure? Don't you think that you have to think about it? That he don't want to do the same thing than before?" And she said, "Well, no, he already changed because he's a man of God, and he's." And then thank God for that. And then we got married in 18 years ago. We celebrated 18 years.
17 years.
And 17 years married. I'm sorry that, you know, I misplaced the time. So, but yes, and then we've been married for 17, going to 18. And thank God, because he was the one that did everything. He took me out of the alcohol, cocaine, crack cocaine, and name it. And everything else that came along, that's what I was doing in the street of New York. And thank God that I'm being free since then, because his powers got me free.
Well, what I have to say is it was not easy going through what I went through. But you know what? God is faithful. And I didn't know Jesus at that time, because I was a religious person. I was a Catholic. So I just went to church, took the children, and I thought that was enough. But eventually years went by, and I just thought he was dead. I just thought he's gone, he's dead someplace. And my daughter started growing, and she started getting curious. And they were always asking me, "Where's our father?" I says, "Well, I don't know. We just separated. We didn't get along," but they didn't know the consequences of the thing that why we got separated. But then, so I really thought he was gone. He was a goner. And then I was taking care of my mother. She was very ill. And so one day he called. My mother and I, we were going to Catholic church, and then she kept saying, "Every time we go to church, I come out empty." I says, "You know what, Mom, me too. I come out empty. I just don't want to go there no more." So then she said, "Well, maybe we should try something else." And I said, "Maybe we should. Maybe we should look for a Christian church." And we were looking, and then he appeared. So then he led us in the way to a Christian, and my mother received Jesus before she passed away, which I am so happy about that she received him. And maybe a month, 2 months later, she passed away. And so I praise to the Lord that he has been with me all this time. And he just has never abandoned me after I received him. I'm not saying it has been easy for us, you know, at the beginning, because he's headstrong, and I am also. I'm a very headstrong person. And we have been very independent, so we just clashed on the first time. But, but you know, if we kept praying, he would go in a room, and I would go downstairs, and I would ask the Lord, "Lord, give us, you know," and he would do the same thing. And eventually, you know, and there's times that I would question God. I would say, "Why? Why did you bring him back in my life?" You know, I would say, "Why didn't you just keep him away from me?" But he didn't. He brought him back in my life, and he is never, never wrong. He knew what he was doing. And before my mother passed away, she said, "I think you should marry him."
I says, no, I don't think so. And she goes, yes, I think you should, because you're older now, and I'm going to die soon, and I don't want you alone. I said, no. I said, no. I says, maybe he received Christ, but maybe he's just not, I don't know, Mom, you know. And so anyway, I was obedient to what she said. And then after she passed away, then he called and says, would you like to... for us to start over again. I said, let me think about it. I got to ask the children first. So I did. I asked the children, and they said, give it a try, Mom. You know, if it don't work, you don't always get divorced. And I said, you're right. You know, we'll give it a try, and I'm just having faith in God that everything will work out. And that's exactly what I did, and I am happy that I did, because we keep each other company, and we praise God, we pray together, and He is the only one that can do what He does, what He has done in my life. And I'm pretty sure there's other couples that have gone through this, but my husband went through a lot. You can imagine in the streets of New York, snow. He would sleep in an alley beside a rat. You know, the rats there are horrible, big. And but he learned his lesson, you know. He was hard-headed. He had to learn the hard way. But, you know, God is good. God is good. And God bless you.
Thank you.
Amen. Guys, when we get to the personal story of individuals, all of a sudden it gets a little more real, doesn't it? Think about the power of forgiveness in the story we just heard from our brother and sister. In experiencing the forgiveness of God for Augie as he's before God, And knows the life he has and experiences the forgiveness of God. And then the two of them, and as Yolanda forgives her husband, and the letting go of that identity of brokenness, letting go of what he had done, and experiencing the healing power of then coming back together. I tell you, when I heard the testimony, I was like, no way. Because you'd never know. But every single person here has a story, don't they? Every single person here has that personal story of brokenness. And many of you who've come to Christ, you have that story of where Jesus met you in the midst of that brokenness. And he took what was broken and a mess and he brought wholeness and he brought healing and he brought blessing. And it was messy and it was painful. But that pain didn't stay as the identity. The new identity in Christ takes over. And over time, as we bring more and more things to the foot of the cross, there's more and more healing. We come to salvation, it's called justification, once and for all, making a decision. I choose Jesus to make you my Lord and Savior. And then there's the sanctification, the growing in our faith, the learning of what all that means and how so many areas of my life that I've been holding back fit into that salvation. And experiencing Him being Lord of more and more areas of our lives. And those old habits and those old ways of doing things not being our identity anymore. Now we have a new identity. Amen. Get up, Jesus called the man. Be changed. Be changed from the inside out. You have a choice to change through Jesus Christ through faith. The offer of Jesus is to be changed from the inside out. The day on which this took place, the end of verse 9, the day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." Do you see the emptiness of religion? Do you see the, what are, 38 years. And what are they focused on? He's carrying his mat on the Sabbath. Guys, it's so painful, it's almost funny, isn't it? But guys, that's where religion leads to. Religion outside of faith in Jesus Christ. That's where religion leads to is you're doing it wrong. Do it better. And you know what? That saves no one. That changes no one from the inside out. Do it better doesn't help. Figure it out. Get it together. That's religion, and it's empty. And it's as broken as the brokenness that's in us. Verse 11. But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was. Isn't that amazing? He had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him. I love that. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." This is the second weird thing that's said, isn't it? First one is, do you want to get healed? That's why he's there. The next weird thing is stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. What is that saying? It's stop identifying your brokenness as your identity. Don't go back into that place of brokenness. Because you might be physically well, but how sad would it be to be physically healed and emotionally and relationally and spiritually broken still? You see, the physical is bad. You know what's worse than physical brokenness? Spiritual brokenness. He's saying, "I'm the Messiah. I am the answer. I'm the one you've been waiting for. In me there is life and life to the full." Don't get lost in that brokenness again. You know what? You've been by a pool for 38 years, stuck. Don't be stuck anymore. We don't have to be stuck. In Christ Jesus, there is freedom, for Christ set us free. You know what? One of the things that really breaks my heart is when Christians who I know that they love Jesus live like sin is their master. Live in the identity, the old identity of brokenness. Something happens and they start reverting back to old ways. Stop identifying your brokenness as your identity. Verse 15. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. I love that. What does he do when he finds out who it is? He didn't know before. When he finds out who it is, what does he do? He proclaims truth. Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. When there's radical faith, when there's true change in our lives, we proclaim what Christ has done. Why? Because we can't hold it in. There's something inside of us that has to share what's on the end, the brokenness that was healed. We have to share what? That it's no longer an open wound, it's a scar. Guys, what's your story? We heard from Augie and Yolanda today. What's your story? Where has Christ met you and healed you? Share that story with family and friends. Let it come out of you. You know, sometimes we're a little bit embarrassed about our past, both the things that were done to us and the choices we made. And so we keep what God has done in us as kind of this secret. Guys, share the blessing. Thank you for sharing the blessing today. I can't tell you what an incredible encouragement it is to me to hear how this couple that I love, that they've gone through so much, and where God met them, and where there was personal brokenness, and as a couple brokenness, and there's been healing. And it's not easy today. It never is. And there's always going to be more challenges to face. More people in the family, do they receive what's happening to me? Do they receive what's going on? The challenges continue. But I want to encourage you. Live in the truth of your new identity in Christ Jesus. Be willing to live in the truth and not needing to go back to living as though the lies of what the enemy said were about you are true, because they're no longer true. You see, the enemy wants to say, those feelings that you have when things get really rough, that's the truth about you, and that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. If you are in Christ Jesus through faith, you are a new identity. The old is gone and the new is here. Celebrate it. Live in that truth. Don't allow the enemy to try and steal that. When he comes, and I promise you, he'll come. And when he comes, you state truth. Go back to the word of God. Go back to the proclaiming what he's done. Every time, I get attacked all the time. Feelings and discouragement and thoughts coming in, and I go back to that. I've got scripture that I quote. And I quote that scripture. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame or let my enemies triumph over me. No one who puts their trust in you will be put to shame. Amen. Guys, We attack the lie with the truth of who God says we are. Here's the key. Not how I feel about me. My feelings are very real, but I can be deceived in my very real feelings. I can respond emotionally, and it is exactly truth of what I'm feeling. But it's not the truth of who I am in Christ and who the Word of God says I am as a believer. So I want to encourage us, when the enemy comes in, he will. Let's go back to the truth of the Word of God. Who does he say that I am? I am a child of God. I am a saint. That's God's words, not my words. My words aren't worth anything. God says I'm a saint. I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. I'm a child of God. I've got a new identity. The old is gone, the new is here. Let's live out that truth. Not just in everyday, but let's know it mentally. Let's know it emotionally. Let's experience it relationally and spiritually. Let's enjoy God. He loves us, guys. It's not just information in a book of religious ways, of ways to act. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that's made me new and taken my sin away from me. Celebrate it, enjoy it. Let it spill out into how we love other people. And guys, one of the most beautiful things that as Augie and Yolanda shared was her forgiveness of her husband and how the forgiveness brought blessing and healing. Guys, if you hear nothing else, hear this. I want you to hear this carefully. We will not experience the blessings of God if we're living in unforgiveness. You won't be able to experience his blessings to the full if you're holding the sins of those who have hurt you against them. Forgive as Christ forgave you. This is what we're called to do. And guys, I promise you this. It's really hard to forgive. And it's impossible in your own strength. But in Christ, we can forgive in full. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless your word in us, Lord. I thank you for the testimony today. I thank you for the word of God. Lord, use it for your glory. Lord, change us from the inside out. I pray that no one here who knows you would continue to live in lies of who the enemy says that we are. Lord, that there would be a healing and a receiving of forgiveness and blessing. And Lord, that there would be a forgiveness of those who have hurt us so that we can be whole on the inside. You forgave us while we were still yet sinners. May we forgive those around us with that same love. Show us how to do that. Lord, we don't want to live as victims in self-pity. We want to be free in Christ, emotionally, relationally, spiritually. Thank you, Lord. Make us a blessing to many through what you've done in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.